Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and today we bring you a new installment of our teaching series from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide based on Bob's book of that same title. Copies of the study guide and the book are available at basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link at the top of the homepage, and you'll find them both there. But for right now, here's Bob Christopher with this week's look at grace. And it's the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide we're going through, and there's a lot of good stuff in there, Bob.
Yes, indeed. We're on Chapter 9. The chapter is entitled, Let Go. And it is addressing this question or this problem that many people have. And they will say something like this: I know God has forgiven me, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself.
Right.
I just can't let go of the past. And we looked at a number of passages last week that that really help us see this in a different light. There's no passage in the Word of God that tells us that we need to forgive ourselves, but there is a lot of information in the Word of God that tells us to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're agreeing with Him that He has forgiven us all of our sins, mm-hmm. and we're rejoicing in that fact. Well, a lot of us like to hold on to the past. A lot of us can't get ourselves out of the past. And we want to go through some passages to help you if that's the case for you. We want to help you let go of the past. So this broadcast is going to help grease those fingers of yours so that that past can just slip through those fingers and you can leave it where it needs to be. So we looked at a passage in Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And we're looking at some ways that we can fall short or miss the grace of God. Now, if we're saved, we haven't missed the grace of God. The grace of God has saved us. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. We are standing in the grace of God. Now, in our minds, we may be thinking something different, and that's what we're talking about. Is your mind fully in alignment with truth?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, those two are out of sync one with another. And this passage, this particular chapter, helps to bring the mind in line with the truth of the gospel. So if we're holding on to the past, if we're not letting go of the past, our mind needs to be corrected. Our mind needs to be renewed. Well, one of the reasons that we hold on to the past and kind of relive the past is because we have this idea that we're basically good people. And that's just not true. And we read a number of passages last week to show that. But if you are holding on to the past and you have this attitude, you're a basically good person, then you are looking at all of those things that happened to you, all of those choices that you made long ago, as somebody else's fault, because you're basically a good person.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it was this. Well, let go of that. And when you let go of that, then the grace of God becomes very precious to you. You realize that you needed the grace of God. You weren't just a basically good person who made a few wrong choices. No, you were a sinner by nature. So when you really come to that truth, I think this grace of God really becomes precious to you. The second thing is, a lot of times we look at something that we've done in the past and we think it's just too bad, that it's too big, and that we've crossed a line, and that on that side of the line, we're beyond the reach of God. We're beyond the reach of God's grace. Well, Paul put himself out there as an example to say that's not true. I mean, he was a blasphemer. He persecuted the church. He did some pretty bad things as far as that is concerned, and he even called himself the chief of sinners. But what happened? Well, God extended mercy to him. And in extending mercy to him, he put Paul on display as an example to say to anyone who feels like they're beyond God's reach, it's just not true.
Yeah.
When Christ died for your sins, he died for the sins of the entire world. Now, you may have many sins, and those sins may have been really, really bad, but they're just a small little sliver of all the sins that Christ died for. So I think we need to come to the point and say, hey, we're not basically good. We haven't crossed that line. God's grace can reach us, and in fact, it has reached us and has taken us out of Adam, has changed our nature from sinner to saint, and now we're in Christ.
Yeah.
So let's rejoice in that. Now, the third thing that a lot of people struggle with, they see themselves as unworthy or unlovable. And this is on the page 67 in the study guide. So if you're following along, we're going to take some time and really work through this particular section. And we're going to start with the story of the prodigal son. Everyone knows the story of the prodigal son. He had an inheritance. He negotiated with his dad and said, "Dad, can you go ahead and let go of that and give it to me so I can do whatever I want to do?" And so the dad agreed. The son took the inheritance, and he went out in the world. And the world, with all of its seductive charms, lured him into a life of recklessness and waste. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. And he wasted away all of that wealth, and he got to a point where the only job he could find was feeding pigs in a pig pen.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, he came to his senses, and he says, "I'm going to go back. Man, my dad's servants, they're living better than me. I'm going to go and make an appeal to my dad to see if he will welcome me back." And so, in verse 18 of Luke chapter 15, we see this: "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So we see here the prodigal son prepared a speech to give to his dad. What was he going to say? "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So make me like one of your hired servants. I mean, at least let me be like one of those guys."
Yeah.
"And have some access to you." So that's what sin can do to us. When we look at ourselves through the eyes of sin, we're going to feel unworthy and unlovable. And we will prepare a speech for God exactly like the prodigal son prepared for his dad. Now, so what was the reason he wanted to go back and make himself like one of his hired servants? Just so he could get out of the pig pen.
Yeah, yeah.
that's what he wanted to do. Now, in verse 20, we see this: "So he got up and went to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." So when the father saw him, what happened? Well, the father took compassion. He was filled with compassion for his son, and he took off running toward his son, and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. So God the Father always sees us for who we are. We're children of God. We may not see ourselves the way God sees us, but God always knows the truth.
Yes.
And so he's filled with compassion, and he's going to run to us. He's going to throw his arms around us, and he's going to kiss us. Now, we ask the question, have you ever felt unworthy or unlovable in your life? And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening today that will answer that with a big yes. And some may be answering it, I feel unworthy and unlovable right now. Well, what is it in your life that's bringing about those feelings? For the prodigal son, it's the fact that he got involved in reckless living, that he threw away all of his inheritance, and he found himself in a pig's pen, in a pig pen feeding pigs. Mm-hmm. That's what made him feel unworthy and unlovable. It was his very own sin. Well, I bet that's the same case for you, that you were dwelling on your sin instead of the love of the Father. Yeah. Now, if you will get your mind in line with the love of the Father, things will start changing for you.
Yes. In these Friday sessions, friends, we're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. And if you would like a review of what you've heard so far, visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there for you and for anyone, by the way, that you'd like to share them with. Also, remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. And as we head toward the end of 2020, friends, we ask you to join with us in making a Christmastime gift to help us reach the $210,000 goal that we need by the 31st. We appreciate every one of you who has given to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel this month. We want to send you a copy of the new CD series by Bob Christopher. It's called Making the Case for Grace, a Rich Study through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Request your copy when you make your December gift at basicgospel.net. Now back to the study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here again is Bob Christopher.
So the father not only ran to the son and hugged him and kissed him, he called his servants and said, bring out the best robe, let's put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and let's bring out the fatted calf, and let's celebrate. My son who was lost is now found, who was dead is now alive. And so they celebrated, and that's the joy of the Lord. And God knows what we go through. God knows what we do. God knows how we process that information in our minds. And yet he continues to love us. He chooses to love us. And we see this in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew us.
Yeah.
He knows us. He knows the things that we have done. Yet Jesus took everyone upon himself, and he died for our sins so that we could have everlasting life and never perish. That is the love of God. So we ask the question, how does this powerful truth help you or help a person step out from behind those feelings of unworthiness? Well, the love of God makes you worthy. He has chosen to make you lovable by choosing to love you.
Yeah.
And when you see it from that perspective, those feelings of unworth, those feelings of being unlovable will start to dissipate, and you will grow in your confidence in your relationship with Christ Jesus. Now, the next thing that is a struggle for many people is their identity. I'm not who you say I am. God says you're a child of God, and you latch on to something else, something that you've done in your past. You know, there are many people that have engaged in some type of sexual sin in their past, and that sexual sin haunts them and defines them. It defines who they are. God, you may say that I'm a child of God, but really I'm an adulterer. Really I'm a promiscuous person. Really I'm a whatever the sexual sin was. And so they hold on to it. Others can hold on to, you know, other things that they've done in the past as their identity. And that is a horrible thing. You're allowing your past to ruin your right now.
Yeah.
Now, in Romans chapter 5, we see this passage And Paul is kind of defining some things for us. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So Adam sinned, and he fell, and he died spiritually, and he passed on that new nature and that new condition to all of us. I mean, God created him fully alive. God created him to enjoy fellowship with God. And then sin entered the picture. And so through that disobedience of Adam, we were all made sinners. That was our identity before coming to Christ. But when we've come to Christ, the obedience of the one man, that's Jesus, makes us righteous. So Jesus Christ credits or imputes to us his very righteousness. So that's a big difference from looking at yourself as the sin that you've done in the past.
Right.
You have to come to grips with the fact that regardless of what you've done in the past, that Jesus's obedience through his death on the cross and resurrection is more powerful than the sin that you committed in the past. And the identity that he attaches to you trumps any other identity that you may be holding on to. Now, we see in John 3:19-20, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And that's true of so many people. They don't want to be honest with God. They are fearful that if their real self is exposed, then they're going to be rejected not only by God but by those who are close by.
Right.
I have just met so many people through the years who think that way, and they're holding on to a secret sin, and that secret sin is defining them, and they're fearful if that sin ever gets exposed and they get exposed for who they think they really are, then they're going to lose all of their most important relationships. People are going to just turn their backs on them. People are going to walk away, and they think God will do exactly the same thing. So they're trying desperately to protect or shield people from seeing the truth. Well, God already knows the truth. We can't hide from him. And when those things get exposed, what does Jesus tell us? That if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to have forgiven your sins and to have cleansed you of all unrighteousness. There's absolutely nothing to fear as far as God is concerned. So let that go. Just open it up as far as God is concerned and agree with him concerning those things. And when you do, you will see, hey, why did I hold on to this?
Yeah.
Why did I think this was so important? Why did I think this was the defining moment in my life? Man, I could have been free a long time ago if I had simply been honest with others and with God.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to tell the truth, because Jesus has a truth that's bigger, and that truth is that he died for your sins and that through his obedience, he makes you righteous right in God's eyes. In verse 21 of John chapter 3, he says this, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God."
Yeah.
So we have to realize that. God sees everything. He knows what's going on. He knows what we've done, and he still sent Jesus. That's good news. Now, in John 1:12, we see this. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So if you've received Jesus Christ, what is your real identity? Your real identity is a child of God. you're not that sin that you did so long ago. You're not what you think you are. You are what God says you are. Now, not only did God give you the right to become a child of God in receiving Jesus Christ, he sent his Spirit to take up residence in you. And the Spirit of God does this inside of you. The Spirit that you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that indeed we are God's children. So we need to get our minds lined up with the truth. If you're holding on to the past, it's because your mind is out of alignment. We understand that as far as a car is concerned. If our front wheels are out of alignment, the car doesn't drive very well. We don't get that smooth ride that we're supposed to get. The car wobbles, the car moves this way and that way. Well, what's the fix? Well, the fix is to get the wheels in proper alignment. What's the fix for you and me? It's to get our mind in alignment with the truth of God's grace. And what is the truth of God's grace? It's that he loves us, that he has forgiven our sins, that he has given us a brand new identity, that he has sent his Spirit to take up residence in us, and that his Spirit testifies with our human spirit that indeed we're children of God. Now, as soon as your mind aligns with that truth, you're going to be able to let go of your past.
Yeah.
Now, if you're feeling like you're still identifying yourself with something that you've done in the past, and you're fearful that those who love you, maybe your family, will reject you if they know the truth, I'm going to encourage you to allow the truth of who you are in Jesus, your identity, to give you some courage to tell your family what you struggled with in the past. And here's why I tell you, because they're going to respond to you in a way that will blow you away. Man, all that fear of them walking away, you're going to see that's not going to be the case. They're actually going to embrace you and love you, and your relationship with them is going to be like you never dreamed possible.
Right.
So don't let your fear of the past, don't let how you identify yourself ruin your relationships here and now. Allow the grace of God, allow your new identity in Christ, allow the Spirit of God to give you the courage to step out in faith and to be honest, to shine light on what you've struggled with, and I guarantee you, you will reap an incredible benefit as far as your relationships with those you love are concerned.
Absolutely. Great study, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us. Just a quick reminder that next Friday being Christmas and the following Friday being New Year's Day, we'll take a break to bring you some special programming. I hope you'll be listening. And we'll continue with the study when we return to it on January 8th. That'll be a Friday, of course. In the meantime, keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your support of Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of Bob's new Roman CD series, Making the Case for Grace. Request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. You can make that gift anytime. Also, I want to remind you that you're invited to join Bob online Sunday morning for Sunday Morning Live. Sunday morning's 9:30 Central Time on either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links to both platforms at the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net. That's Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live with Bob Christopher. And also want to remind you that we have a very, very special offering for you. It's called the Daily Devotional. And if you haven't done so already, we hope you'll subscribe to receive our Daily Devotional. It arrives in your email inbox every morning to offer truth and encouragement as you prepare to face the world for that day. Visit basicgospel.net, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click Send Me the Daily Devotional to connect with God's love every day. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend in the Lord, everybody, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.